This episode is brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Business owners, meet Progressive Insurance. They make it easy to get discounts on commercial auto insurance and find coverages to grow with your business. Quote in as little as 7 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Off the ball. Rugby.
You'd think he wants Marcus on that plane. You'd imagine, in some shape or form. And because of his versatility, and he's such a good athlete, such a good rugby player, you'd think he would want him on that plane.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball. Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
Ahead of the game against Turkey this evening, Kathleen McNamee, presenter of the Koi Gig Pod, is with us in studio. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, guys.
Interesting comments from Katie McCabe on the Colin Healy departure, that the FAI, she thinks, should review their processes. She's clearly disappointed with the way in which Colin Healy exited his role.
Yeah, I think the McCabe comments yesterday were really interesting for like a couple of factors. I mean, I asked her initially at the start of the press conference about what Stephen Bradley had said the night before, because it's hard to ignore. He was very strong in his comments as well. And normally, whenever you ask Katie about something that isn't to do, especially the week of a game, about the game, she gets quite frustrated and annoyed. We saw it quite a lot during the end of the Vieira era. But yesterday, she was very calm. It wasn't that I think she had massively... She definitely thought about what she wanted to say, but it wasn't like a rehearsed speech at all. Mm. It very much felt like one of those times where you were hearing her genuinely speak from her heart, which you don't get all that often, and you understand why with players currently.
Yeah.
But yeah, very strong comments from her. And I don't know, in the room, everyone was a bit like, oh, she's actually saying something. Like, I just to put the magnitude of it, it's a current Irish captain speaking out against the association in association headquarters with like Mark Canham's office literally next door, David Carell's office next door, and her saying, do you know what? I think this place is messed up. I don't think they served people who served them very well right, and that they need to really, really look at these processes. And like, that's pretty massive for it to be coming from so internally, because normally we know the FAI, normally they shut up shop when it comes to these things. We talked to a couple of players during the week, and fair enough, a lot of them had kind of just said, oh, look, you know, really respect Colin Healy, Alan Gleeson, everything that they did. We weren't a part of the review process. It is what it is. Let's move on. Mm. Whereas yesterday from Katie felt, I don't know, it felt like a bit of a turning point in the entire narrative, because a lot of people can say what they want. Stephen Bradley can say what he wants. And yes, it has an impact. Yes, it becomes part of the general narrative. But to come from an Irish captain and someone who was so closely linked to the situation, it just felt like something that the FAI can't really come back from now, whatever goes on with their internal review process. Also, the fact that they couldn't make it work to get her to actually be a part of the review.
Seems strange.
Yeah.
We can't... So... FAI may not be able to come back from this. And like, my question for you is like, when are you ever, when you go to the press conference, going to just talk about the football? Because I think we're like, as a nation, almost addicted to this FAI stuff, aren't we? Because what's what they give us? Like,
if as Jared calls it, HR issues that we shouldn't be talking about.
If you look at it like, you know, it was the men's search was so protracted, it took 8 months until we appointed a guy who everyone was scrambling to Google before he went on air. Let's say Hamer Adams said, oh, yeah, yes, I think. But then the women's search was actually really proactively done and quick. And Carla Ward, like former Aston Villa manager, and it was a good appointment. It's exciting. And she's already speaking really well. And then the Colin Healy stuff happens. Are we going to get back to talking about just football? Like, if you say there's no way back from this...
I think we will get back. When I say like there's no way back, I mean it more in that there's no more excuses really that the FAI can make about this whole situation. Katie made it very clear that her comments were coming from a place of having talked to people internally within the camp, also people, I assume she was talking about Colin and Eileen and other people like that, and how it had all gone down from their side. You know me, sometimes I go to these press conferences and I come back and I'm annoyed because we haven't talked about football and I'm like, I just want to talk about the match. I don't care about all this drama. But there was something about yesterday that felt a little bit different to me because it felt like a statement that would actually make a difference. And it was one of those press conferences where, yes, everyone's probably going to talk about Katie's comments and what she said, but we actually did talk about the football for quite a lot of it as well. Like, if Katie starts tonight, it'll be her 65th cap as captain. Mm-hmm. If she scores, it'll be her 30th goal. Mm-hmm. If Heather Payne starts tonight, it'll be her 50th cap, which is insane for someone as young as she is. So like, there are loads of really good storylines. Obviously, it's Carla Ward's first match, so everyone's like, what's she going to do? Mm. Is she going to change things up? I don't think she will. She kind of talked a big game when she was first appointed about changing up how we play, getting a more attacking style. There was a bit of excitement last week whenever the squad was announced and Katie was listed as a forward, but that was just a mistake apparently. But then during the week, like, Alan Mahon was talking on Tuesday and he kind of played down that they were going to change things up too much just because of the fact that they've only had two training sessions with the team, which is fair enough. And Carla was kind of doing the same thing yesterday. Mm. So there is plenty of the football to talk about, but this actually feels like one of the more worthwhile not football stories.
Obviously, when Stephen Bradley brought it up, it's because of the kind of guy that Colin Healy seems to be regarded as. Obviously, he went through some horrific personal things with the passing of his wife last year. So everyone appreciates that element of it. And it's like, well, why can't someone who's gone through so much be treated correctly on their exit? But there's also the fact that the players clearly really liked him as a coach. So if the players are liking him, surely you continue with that. So that must be where Katie is coming from as well.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is that the players almost had to be won round by Colin to a certain extent. It's not that he didn't have a great coaching career before, but, you know, it wasn't an established coaching career when it comes to international management or, say, the likes of Carla Ward, who's coming in from, like, having coached in the WSL and different things. And he's won them over so much that they're all now publicly going to bat for him in this situation. And I think that really speaks to the environment. And part of what Katie talked about yesterday that wasn't in that clip but was part of the wider press conference was, you know, the memories that team collectively made together and the disappointment. You know, she talked about not qualifying for the Euros and how that was probably the hardest point of her Irish career. And she was, I won't say verging on emotional, but it's as close to as emotional as you could expect Katie McCabe to get over anything, the way she was talking about it. And it's clear that that team and that coaching staff had a very special bond. And I really question the FAI and the fact that if Katie wasn't part of the review, Aoife Mannion said during the week that players weren't part of the review. Now, maybe there were other players that were part of it. Who was part of the review?
Yeah.
You know, was it just talking to the staff? If you're not going to talk to your captain as part of an internal review on a team and a team's performance, that's just bonkers to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're necessarily in a bad position now. Like, I think they have done a really good job in getting Carla Ward in there. Alan Mahon, or Mahoney, as they all call him, is very impressive as well. Emma Byrne's still in there. They've got the assistant manager in from Liverpool too. I think they have created a really, really good team out of what was a terrible situation. I just feel like it all could have been handled a lot better.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Can you describe the differences and maybe similarities in the last time you were on the eve of League B starting? So that was after the World Cup. It was about a year and a half ago. And that time it was at the Aviva Stadium, so it's significantly more people there than there will be tonight in Tala. Yeah. That was against Northern Ireland. There was a slight bit of trepidation, if I recall, going into that game. I was at the match. It was a good atmosphere. Handily won 3-0. Versus now, where that Wales defeat at the Aviva Stadium at the end of last year was so heartbreaking and felt like such a cul-de-sac in what we thought was a great road. What's it like now? Is there, do you sense a bit of deflation? Or is there more a positive edge than that at the moment?
There definitely has been a bit of deflation in the lead up. I think maybe this week, like this is the first time that all the players have been together since that Wales game, and they all went straight back into their club situations after that. And in a way, it feels like there's been a little bit of healing over the last couple of days. I'd say I definitely felt it at the start of the week, but as the week has gone on, and it's basically been in Abbottstown where the FAI have their headquarters every day this week, talking to various different people, there definitely has been a mood shift. You know, Carla met the team for the first time on Monday, and she got the FAI staff that work with her to put together a video of kind of like the high points of this team. And she was talking about it yesterday and saying that she's watched about 10 times, even though she wasn't part of the squad for any of those moments. She gets goosebumps, like hearing the national anthem in Sydney, the game that you referenced there, Lucy Quinn scoring the first ever goal of an Irish woman in the Aviva. You know, those are all great moments. Yes, today is very, very different to the situation that we were in for that Aviva game, because that felt like the end of a slightly toxic era.
Yeah. Relief, was it?
Yeah, to a certain extent. And kind of at the time, we were like, oh, great, we can actually go back to talking about the football.
Yeah, I do remember that discussion,
That was like the end of that era and the start of something new, and it was the start of a new campaign, and we knew that we could, we would probably win all those games and that would lead us on a path to the Euros. Whereas now it is a fresh start. There is an excitement around Carla Ward and what they can do, but that the, I suppose the progress of the team still feels very far away.
Yeah.
In that the Euros are this summer, we're not going. We're now looking at another 2 years for the next big campaign. It's a lot more difficult to qualify for the World Cup than it would have been to qualify for this Euros this summer. We have all the retirements.
Yes.
We don't necessarily have the settled squad that we had when, like, whenever we were going into the last campaign, it was like, yes, it's an older squad, but it's a mature squad. Whereas now you're looking at the squad and saying, a lot of very young players in there, and there's a lot of players that are, are they going to make another major tournament? Potentially not. So it's a very, it's a very different situation and a much more uncertain situation, I suppose, is probably the best way to put it.
Well, yeah, like the last year and a half, like I use a very clunky analogy of a seesaw for the senior women's team, in that it's probably slightly going back towards the ground, in that League B after World Cup, flawless, but as expected.
Yeah.
Then they got promoted, lost all the games except the France match at Páirc Uí Chaoimh, when France made a fair few changes. Julianne Russell was a star and now she's gone. So there was positivity going into the Wales playoff after the first leg, still very positive. Even a half time in the second leg was like, just still a chance here. And the second half seems to have determined the last year and a half, which is possibly slightly unfair. Yeah, sorry, go ahead with that first.
Well, no, I was going to say that I think, I don't know if there was a massive amount of positivity after the first leg in Cardiff. There was like a, yes, we can still do something here. It's still in our hands. But there definitely was a, oh, this isn't going exactly the way we thought it would. Not that I like, I never said that it would be easy against Wales. I always thought that they were the sort of team compared to, say, like a France or an England that could potentially trip us up, even though we technically on paper are a better caliber team than them. But I don't know, there was just always a, there was like a little niggle at the back of my head for those entire playoffs.
Well, I remember you. I remember you saying it that night after the first leg. I kind of remember you on air talking. You were a bit fearful going into the second leg. I guess it was more. It was finely poised.
Yeah,
we'll put it that way.
I'll give you that.
But thanks. But one thing that really stuck with me, and I actually don't think we've talked about it enough, was Rutha Littlejohn's words after the second leg defeat. And we talked about this in the office yesterday, Little John said, we need to modernise the way we play. We need to catch up with the rest of the world. Mm. That's way more important than the vast majority of things that we have been talking about the last couple of years. Would you agree with Little John's assertion?
Yeah, definitely. But it's also, how do we do that? You know,
this goes back to the domestic development of the league. Which
you need the players to do it. And we have a lot of exciting talent in there, yes. But we also need them getting game time. So you look at Abby Larkin, barely started a game, or barely, not even started, barely played any minutes most of last year. She's now starting to get back on the pitch a little bit more, which is good, but it is as a substitute. Izzy Atkinson isn't playing at all. Jesse Yu is still injured. Jesse Stapleton is doing a little bit. Emily Murphy has just come back from playing over the States. She's with Newcastle. She is getting some minutes, but again, Newcastle are a new side in the Championship, yeah. So they're still kind of finding their feet. They're just a new side in general. Like, they haven't had a women's team until the last couple of years. And then if you're looking around the pitch, I don't know who the superstar is coming into that team who's going to make, like, we shouldn't have had to have relied on Julianne Russell to come in mid-30s, had a baby, admittedly the fittest person on the team, and even the women who are playing like professional football would say the same thing.
It's not a long term solution.
But it's not a long term solution, and it clearly wasn't, because she played for a year and has now decided to retire, which is totally fair and within her rights. But I just don't know how do we change, like, is who do you build a team around in there apart from Katie? And we've seen so many managers try to do that and not be able to do that, because realistically, we still need her in that defensive quality. We're never going to get the best out of Denise because we don't have the players to let her be the midfield maestro that she is in the NWSL. Arguably, some of our best players, as always, are defenders in the likes of, you know, Caitlin Hayes, just got moved to Brighton in the WSL, Anna Patton. I think, for me, they're probably two of the more exciting players in that they've developed a really good relationship. And the question for a long time is, how do we move on from the Louise Quinn, Niamh Fahey, that sort of like stalwart back? And they're probably coming in and doing that.
Three of them are getting honoured at halftime tonight as well. Niamh Fahey, Deanne Caldwell, Julianne Russell.
Yeah.
Stalwarts.
Absolute stalwarts. I mean, we talk about Julianne coming in the last year and doing everything that she did, but she also had a brilliant career before that as well, like a couple of years ago. Deanne Caldwell, to be honest, never thought she was going to retire. I remember talking to her before we went to the World Cup and her talking about the fact that she was very nearly out the door, and then Vera asked her to stay on, and she's like, when you get a call like that and you get to go to a World Cup, of course you're not going to turn it down. And then Niamh Fahey, like one of the icons of Irish sport in general, potentially one of our most underrated sporting people, I think, sometimes. You know, captain of Liverpool. Nathan was over in Anfield, I don't know, was it last weekend or the weekend before? And there's just a massive Niamh Fahey on the side, which is pretty cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. Same with the Emirates. If you look, like Emma Byrne and Katie McCabe also up on the side.
Yeah, the visibility is brilliant.
Like, there's no, I don't think there's any Irish men's players on the side of any big Premier League stadiums. So.
No, it's amazing. So 7:30. That game tonight.
Yeah, myself and Scarlett will be doing check-ins alongside the League of Ireland commentary tonight.
The last time we were in League B in the Nations League, it went flawlessly, as we said. Can people expect the same this time around in the League B? So it's Turkey tonight, Slovenia away next Tuesday, and then a doubleheader against Greece in April.
I think so. It'll be a massive disappointment for this team if they don't win every game. Now, I don't know if the score lines will necessarily be as big as what we saw in the last time we played in the B League, but definitely I think the team would be massively disappointed if they didn't get straight wins.
Can I just, before we finish, Kathleen, mention the story that came in yesterday, this Luis Rubiales story that is, well, dragged on and on after that Women's World Cup final in 2023. So the former Spanish football chief Luis Rubiales has been found guilty of sexual assault for kissing player Jenny Hermoso without her consent after that final in 2023. The Spanish High Court has ordered him to pay a fine of more than €10,000, but acquitted him of coercion, and then prosecutors demanded a prison sentence. He is to appeal the ruling, apparently saying, quote, "I'm going to keep fighting Jenny Hermoso's side, of course, is that she told the trial in Madrid she never agreed to him kissing her on the lips, and the moment, quote, tainted one of the happiest days of her life. Dark, sad story, and it's kind of gone on this one, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's just, again, it's kind of back to what Colin was saying earlier about, you know, just wanting to talk about the football. The only thing we should have been talking about coming out of that World Cup was Spain and the brilliant team that they have, the exciting youngsters in that squad, the backbone of it being made up by one of the most iconic teams in world football at the moment in Barcelona and everything that they've achieved. And instead, it's a silly thing like this that, you know, I'm really glad that they actually did find in favour of Jenny Hermoso. I didn't expect it, to be honest, and especially with how bullish Rubiales has been over this. You know, I remember him getting up on stage and giving that big speech about false feminism and people going after him just because he was a man in power and all this sort of stuff. And Jorge Vilda, who was the coach at the time, giving him a standing ovation. Now, Vilda was one of the people that was also up for trial that was found not guilty of coercion. Which, again, I don't know. Like, there's all this stuff about Hermoso's brother being approached on the plane on the way back to Spain from Australia, asking him to tell her to do a video, or Rubiales being like, oh, we're best buddies. Mm. And it was just a heat of the moment thing. And there's also the side part to this story as well. Like, it wasn't just the kiss. There was also, like, images of him grabbing his crotch beside the Queen of Spain and her 16-year-old daughter. And, like, there's plenty of context to this to make it not just that one moment that was obviously shocking and terrible and on a world stage. And it's just that if you put it into context, because I've seen so much online of people being like, it was just a peck, it didn't really matter. It's like, could you imagine, I don't know, standing in the office and your boss grabbing your face and landing one right on you? Like, it's just not so acceptable, and it's uncomfortable in every context. And Jenny Hermoso has got so many death threats. She left Spain for a while because of all the backlash that she was getting to the story. It's not like Rubiales has done anything like mad important for Spanish football either to get all this backlash. So in a week where we see the likes of, you know, Bunny Shaw receiving intense racist abuse to the point where she took a mental health break from football because she couldn't do it again, one of the best footballers in the world right now, this feels like a small win in the context of all that bad stuff. I know he still has to appeal and we'll see how that goes, but also 10 grand, his wage is like 670,000 euro a year, it's a drop in the ocean. Yeah. Never mind whatever else he gets.
Usual off-pitch stuff dominating, but enjoy the game tonight, Kathleen. Looking forward to this one. We'll talk about it more and who you got later this morning.
Off the ball. Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition, there's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.